Senator from the 14th.
Thank you, Mr. President, to inquire of the Senator from the 8th.
Senator from the 8th, you yield to an inquiry. He does. Proceed.
Senator, I understand what you are trying to do right now, but there's something that you said earlier that concerned me just a bit. What does the Lieutenant Governor do? And even though I'm a member of the opposite party from the current Lieutenant Governor that we have, I actually worked in the Lieutenant Governor's office for 3 years. And I have to tell you, at that time, we had about 16 or 17 boards and commissions, half of them dealing with economic development and the other half dealing with senior citizen advocacy. And I just want to tell you, as the former boards and commissions employee and the communications worker for the former Lieutenant Governor, that office is actually very important. In fact, one of the things that we were able to accomplish when I served in that office is to change, I think it was MHDC, Missouri Housing Development Commission, and we were able to change the proportions of what regions were able to get in terms of resources and funding for different projects. And it was actually to benefit constituents like yours, not mine, but like yours, because St. Louis City was getting a majority of the funding, Kansas City was getting a part, but rural Missouri, there was an inequity that was involved in, only because of the Lieutenant Governor. Only because of the Lieutenant Governor were we able to change those dynamics so that the funding would be more appropriate. I can also tell you that the Lieutenant Governor also sits on the Community Service Commission, and I can tell you on that commission, when I worked for Lieutenant Governor, we had more minorities on that commission than ever before. In fact, we worked with the Governor's office to ensure that we had more minorities on these boards and commissions make decisions and also provide resources. On the Community Service Commission, for example, we have all kinds of different programs where we can help volunteers assist communities. And we have the VISTA program, which was in the Lieutenant Governor's office. There are several different things that was in the Lieutenant Governor's office where we could make a good change without having to go through the budget process for people. So I just want to beg to differ, because I'm very protective of that office regardless of who's sitting in it, because there's a great responsibility in that office, and I know that I put in my time, extra time. I was at work at 5 o'clock in the morning, and here when we actually had sessions until 3 o'clock in the morning, I was here to serve my governor and to make sure that he had everything that he needed when he was sitting up on that dais. I will also tell you that the first female Lieutenant Governor who has ever served statewide was in the office of the Lieutenant Governor, and not only was she a member of this body, but she was also my mentor, and she was also one of the most courageous people ever to serve in that chair as the president, as Lieutenant Governor. So I just take offense when anyone reduces the responsibilities of the Lieutenant Governor's office. It's not only in the executive branch, but obviously in the legislative branch. And so I wish more people understood what the office of the Lieutenant Governor does, because it's immense. I mean, we would not have the nursing home bill that we passed in 2003, we would not have that now if it was not for the Lieutenant Governor that we had at that time. And we had to work with both parties in both chambers. And let me tell you, that's not an easy ordeal. But thankfully...
I'm sorry for the interruption, Senators, but I would remind my colleagues that to keep your conversations in the Senate chambers to a minimum. And if you need to have further conversations, please go to the side galleries so we can hear the senator's debate. Proceed.
Thank you. But thankfully, we had a governor at that time, because I didn't know that you referred to the Lieutenant Governor as governor as well until I worked in that office. But, you know, luckily at that time, we had a governor who was willing to work with both parties, who had legislative experience, and was able, when the two bodies, the two chambers, couldn't come to an agreement, he forced the issue and was able to bring people along. And that's what is really important. Now, I know that you're talking, and I'm going to talk to the senator from Christian, and I know exactly what the chief of staff did for the lieutenant governor. I don't know under this lieutenant governor what all the responsibilities are, but in part there are administrative decisions that the chief of staff has to deal with, and then on the political side of what the lieutenant governor is going to do, the scheduling. The lieutenant governor has to be essentially throughout the state at any given time because of the boards and commissions. Since I served in that office, there's legislation, and fortunately, I hope I didn't support it, but I don't remember, but there's legislation that said that your staff could actually make decisions, and I don't think that's actually where we want to be in that. I think the lieutenant governor should make those decisions. And there was a lot of travel that was involved, which is one of the reasons why I had to go throughout the state and represent the lieutenant governor. But I could never make up the votes for the lieutenant governor, and I wouldn't want to do that just because I was a staffer. But that person was elected to make decisions. And I did a lot of research. I remember the Missouri Finance Board as well, when we were dealing with the funding of the old post office downtown in St. Louis, when we were dealing with the Guadalupe Center in Kansas City, and several other projects that we had before us that we could either bond or not bond, or financial resources to. The lieutenant governor had that responsibility. So when you minimized the responsibility of the lieutenant governor, I took offense, and I just want to tell you that I have profound respect for that office, regardless of who's sitting in it. It is an immense responsibility of what the lieutenant governors do throughout the country, but most importantly, because I've experienced it myself, what that lieutenant governor does is very important to making sure the resources are given to people throughout the state in an economic development way, or in the way where we're helping senior citizens or those people who have disabilities, or people who care about community service. So I don't want to diminish. I don't want to diminish. What the roles and responsibilities are of the lieutenant governor, but I think it was important to just highlight some of the things that go on in that office and not to reduce that office at all.
Okay. Senator, I will tell you that Tennessee doesn't have a lieutenant governor, but the president pro tem. The Senate is by de facto the lieutenant governor. I am of the opinion smaller government is better. I believe that we all represent our districts and the people in the state of Missouri. We have a governor that represents the state of Missouri and a number of other statewide office holders. I'm not trying to eliminate the lieutenant governor's office with this proposal that the senator from Christian has worked on. What I'm trying to do is save the state $7 million for an election, and I think the senator from Christian is getting an amendment drafted, and I think the senator from Boone is working on that amendment to agree with it. And I think it's going to go to not having a special election, but going to the next general election for that election.
And I would agree to that as well, because there are a lot of ways where you and I agree, and I don't think that we should be spending $7 million for a special election. And I do think that the employees of the lieutenant governor's office knows exactly what needs to be done. There's a lot of travel. Since I've been in that office, again, there's been legislation to reduce the activity of what the lieutenant governor does because the responsibility can go to an employee. I don't think that is right, but that is what is currently in law. And so we just have to move on. But I don't think that we should spend $7 million for a special election.
Good. We can agree on that. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion. Senator from the 24th.
To inquire the Senator Boone while at the same time doing a sound check. So let's see if this is going to work.
Senator from Boone, do you yield to an inquiry?
I do.
He does. Proceed.
I think you need a new wire, I think. And if somebody's got one, it'd be nice if they came and replaced that for you.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, so you've got an idea here you're going to execute, or I just wanted to...
Yeah, right now I'm having another amendment drafted, so as soon as it's done, I'm going to take back the amendment that I offered. I'm going to offer a new amendment, and what that amendment does, and the senator from Christian has been working on this as well as the senator from the 15th, and basically what it says is when there is a vacancy in the office of the lieutenant governor, it stays vacant until the next general election, but basically the chief of staff and the staff would stay and carry out those ministerial functions of the office. And then it's going to say also, but in no way can they carry out functions of the lieutenant governor, and that any functions of the lieutenant governor would be carried out by the president pro tem of the Senate.
Okay,
so in other words, what's going to happen is if there's a vacancy, the elected position stays vacant until the next general. So to take care of the senator from the 8th's concern about the cost, because that'll take care of that.
Right.
And then the other issue is there's still somebody there to answer the mail and to answer the phone and do those kind of things, but make it clear that the only person who controls the dais in this room is the president pro tem of the Senate.
Got it.
Yep. That's what it'll do.
And then the longest, 2 years is the longest possible time that it could be vacant then.
Yeah, that's correct.
Right, okay, very good.
Yep.
Thank you, Senator.
Okay, thank you, Senator.
Further discussion? Senator from Boone?
President, we send my amendment back, please.
Your amendment shall be set back.
And Mr. President, I have another amendment.
Senator from Boone, send your amendment forward.
It is being distributed. And I will keep talking until it is fully distributed.
Are you requesting a waiver of the reading?
I am requesting a waiver of the reading.
Seeing no objection, a waiver shall be granted. Would you like to explain your amendment?
Yeah, Mr. President, what this amendment does is, this again, the senator from Christian and the senator from the 15th have both worked on this issue. And this basically says that if there is a vacancy in the lieutenant governor's office, that vacancy would remain until the next general, thereby taking away the concern about additional costs for a special election that the senator from the 8th was talking about, because it would just fall to the general election. And then it provides for the executive of the staff to basically control the staff on ministerial functions, and that's a term of law. Ministerial functions are those functions like answering the phone and the mail and all those things just to keep the office running. They do that so that constituents, veterans, and others who that is the key office for maintaining some of those issues, there would be somebody to answer the phone and answer calls and handle some constituent matters like that. But there's going to be, well, there is language that makes it clear that ministerial function does not include in any way presiding over the Senate, which, as everyone knows, the lieutenant governor is the president of the Senate in the state of Missouri, and that those functions, in case of a vacancy, would be completely up to the president pro tem of the Senate. And that's pretty much what it does. I believe it's being handed out as we speak.
Senator from Boone has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 5, the Senate substitute to House Bill Number 199. Does any senator desire to be heard? Senator from the 13th, for what purpose do you rise?
To inquire of the senator from the 13th, from Cole.
Senator?
Boone.
Thank you, Senator. Senator from Boone, do you yield to an inquiry?
I am, and I'm flattered that you confused
me. I was just
Senator
a little
Cole,
confused,
we actually look so much alike.
Actually. I just have a couple questions. If you're going to talk about your amendment, I was wondering if you could tell me a couple of things in this bill that I just don't understand.
In the bill?
Yes.
You'd have to address those as Senator from the 24th. It's his bill.
Okay. So you haven't read it?
I've read part of it, but, you know, I haven't worked on it, so I would defer.
Well, and I don't have a problem with it either way. I just don't understand a couple of things.
I will defer those types of questions to the senator from the 24th, who is the bill.
All right. Thank you.
Senator from the 14th, for what purpose do you rise?
And I'd like to inquire of the senator from Boone.
Senator from Boone,
I do.
Do you yield to an inquiry? He
I
does
sure
proceed.
Do.
Thank you. Senator, what I'm trying to find out, you're talking about the ministerial responsibilities. Would that include showing up for boards and commission meetings?
Probably not. Because on a board or a commission, that's an official act of the office, so no.
Okay, so would the president or the pro tem be doing that?
No.
So those...
We've discussed that. The thing is, the lieutenant governor is an executive branch official.
He's in both, the executive and legislative.
He does preside over the Senate, but he's still an executive branch official, and there's a question. If you have the president pro tem, who is an elected senator, start sitting on executive branch boards, that's going to be a violation of powers under the Missouri Constitution. Separation of powers problem.
Okay. So, but that, you do admit, though, that this is staying silent on who is going to vote, not going to vote. So no one's going to vote in any capacity on any of these important boards and commissions.
There would be no one to do that. That's correct.
Okay. So right now, a designee of the lieutenant governor's office can vote on behalf of the lieutenant governor.
They can right now because they're basically an agent of a duly elected lieutenant governor.
Okay.
But if there's no duly elected lieutenant governor, there can't be any legal agent of that person.
Okay. So when it comes to funding for Missouri Housing Development Commission or MDFB, the Missouri Development Finance Board, or any of those economic development boards, we will not have a vote from
Lewis. I guess it's open to interpretation. I think there'd just be a vacancy. I mean, most of those boards and commissions have 8 people or 7 people, 9 people. So would they be missing one? Yes, probably.
Okay. Well, I'm just concerned because I know that the senator from the 15th earlier was talking about the inequity of not having a person from the Republican Party on the election board. And since Democrats have the majority of the statewide offices, I just thought that you would be concerned. But if not, that's fine.
You know, I think only the elected official themselves can serve in that role.
Okay. Well, that's just what my question was. I would hope, as I said earlier, and I don't know what this lieutenant governor does, but I know what the former lieutenant governor did, and he was very instrumental in making sure there was fairness across the board in terms of different funding generators or just different funding opportunities that were given to different people throughout the state, including projects that were in Boone County. So I just, it's good to have an advocate, and, the lieutenant governor is the advocate for senior citizens, and that's the role and responsibility that is outlined in our statutes, and just to not have a person fulfilling that obligation of caring for our senior citizens throughout the state or ensuring that rural Missouri gets the adequate funding that they deserve, I thought that would be of importance.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Boone renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 5, the Senate substitute to House Bill Number 199, be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary say no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You've adopted the amendment. Senator from the 24th.
I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward.
It is brief, and so I'd ask that it be read.
Madam Secretary, when the amendment reaches the dais, please read the amendment.
Senate Amendment Number 6, offered by Senator Lamping, amend Senate Substitute House Committee Substitute House Bill 199, page 12 through 13, section 77.030. by striking said section of the bill and further amend the title and enacting clause accordingly.
So,
Senator, would you like to explain your amendment?
Well, this is the senator from Jefferson County. We had taken his amendment into a substitute. He was going to amend that amendment, but then at the request of the governor's office. But then this afternoon he was contacted by the Secretary of State's office that they want the whole thing. They have issues with the whole thing. So this is just taking out the amendment that we have put into the committee substitute, and that's what this amendment does. And so I'd ask that you support the amendment.
Senator from the 24th has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 6. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from the 24th renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 6. For what purpose do you rise?
Mr. President, I have an amendment.
Send your amendment forward.
President, it has been distributed, and I ask for a waiver of the reading.
Hearing no objection, a waiver shall be granted. Would you like to move for its adoption and explain your amendment?
Yes, I move for its adoption. Currently, the city of West Plains and the city of Monette are the only two third-class cities with a commission form of government. They are required by state law to hold a primary election in February, regardless of how many candidates have filed. If the number of candidates filed is less than or equal to the number of available seats, the city is still required to hold a primary, which costs the city over $7,000 or $8,000. It has been over 12 years since a primary would have been eliminated and would have eliminated a candidate for any of these seats leading into the general election. This amendment would allow these cities to opt out of holding a primary election for the city council or mayoral races if the number of candidates filed is less than the number of open seats. With that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Senator from Barrie has moved for the adoption of Senate Amendment Number 7. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator, you're recognized to close.
I close.
Senator from Barry renews his motion that Senate Amendment Number 7 to Senate Substitute to House Bill Number 199 be adopted. As many of the opinion that motion shall prevail, say aye.
Aye.
Those of the contrary, no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. You have adopted the amendment. We are back on the Senate Substitute Adoption Motion. Does any senator desire to be heard on that motion? Seeing none, Senator from the 24th, you're recognized to close.
Mr. President, I renew my motion to adopt the substitute.
Senator from the 24th renews his motion that Senate Substitute to House Bill Number 199 be adopted.